Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie.
21 minutes to 10 o'clock this Friday morning in, isn't it, Elaine Crowley. I know I knew that. I was just playing with you. Look at this beautiful spring day here in the chip van.
Isn't it beautiful? And it's not a chip van, it's a roadcaster. Come on.
It's a
roadcaster. Don't call it a caravan. It's a place of employment for fabulous people. Be nice.
And Mick. So Elaine Crowley is obviously well known to you as the presenter of Midday on TV3, which is a program very popular with people who are
sitting at home, not doing anything else. Is that what you're trying to say? Thank you very much.
No, who are engaged by intellectual, robust conversation.
That is so true.
That's what you do for a living, and as the presenter of that. And it's just
pot calling kettle black here now. Come on.
Let's talk about different things. We'll talk about Midday for a second, because it's an intriguing programme. It's sexist, obviously.
Completely.
Because no men are allowed on it.
They are.
If I had a programme that banned women from it, could you imagine what trouble I'd get in for being a sexist pig?
Sweetie,
so you're really just a sexist woman in a
ban
man.
Men. I did not ban men, but when I have men on, the figures half. That is statistics.
Is it?
They actually half.
When was the last time you had a man on your sexist show?
Let me think about it. On my sexist show, I think I'd Pat Short, I think, was the last man I'd done, and he ran out of the place screaming.
I'd say he
was terrified.
Do you know what you should do is like have the Graham Norton chair or like an ejector seat for men, so anytime like and all the women can take a vote.
I know you're just dying to go on it, aren't you?
I am dying to go on your show. I've told you this. I just like the challenge of being surrounded
I will reintroduce Man Monday just for you. How's that?
Yeah, I think it's a great idea, and Mondays are good for me because I tend to take it easy on a Monday, so I normally go to the cinema or something like that, but
really?
I could change that for you for one day only.
Thank you so much.
Just as a favour, because you've been on my show, so I can be on your show.
Turn about is fair play.
What sort of panellists would you put on a show if I was on it with you? Would you fill it with dragons or nice women?
What do you mean dragons?
You know the way you'd have a few dragons around
There's
you?
There's no such thing as a dragon.
There is. There's a few of them now would be kind of spitting fire.
No, what would I put on the show?
Which of the
creatures?
I
actually have it in my head who I'd put on with
go
you.
Go on. Have a go. Come on. Names.
No. I put on beautiful like model types and you just salivating.
No. They're too boring. They're not interesting.
No, if I watched it, I'd probably have Baveen Byrne. Feisty. Lovely. Mm-hmm. Very opinionated. Barbara Scully is also.
Oh, I know Barbara. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing you do—the feisty ones.
Do you know what? They're my regular panelists, and they're the best. You know, I have really solid, informative, wonderful women. So why not?
To take on
will eviscerate you.
Do you? I'm not surprised. Do you care about what you wear on the television, or you just jump into anything on a given day?
Yeah, pretty much.
Do you?
Yeah. No, in fairness, Emma and Debenhams just basically throws clothes at me.
Is that it?
I just wear whatever.
Do you have to hand them back?
Yeah.
That's a pain. Mm. Do you ever wear your own stuff, or do you always have to go for new stuff?
Sometimes I forget to change.
From the morning into the other?
Yeah, so I'm just, like the other day, I was like, oh, la la, looks on air, oh dear.
What?
I had a jumper on and I was supposed to have a lovely, beautiful blouse. Do you know blouses are lovely on air, but I didn't do that. Yeah.
Because if people think that, you know, you'd have a wardrobe department and that they'd be... You're scalping. Why are you laughing?
We have a wardrobe room between every single presenter in TV3 and that's it.
Right.
One room, everything gets shoved into it and that's... even Vincent Brown and Mark Cagney, we all share the same room.
Do you?
It's actually smaller than this caravan.
Almighty.
I know.
So could you bump into Mark Cagney getting changed or helping Vincent Brown with his cufflinks?
They're like 12 hours apart with their shift, so shift, but
but everyone at TV3 seems to work on everything else anyway, so
that is true.
They
that
work all true. Sort of mornings, evenings, noons and nights.
No, but there's a bit of a separation now, but
okay.
Very true.
I've never been to TV3.
Okay, I'll bring you on Midday.
Thank you. I've never been. It's like a kid saying, what do they taste like?
You will get shocked.
What by
You'll
what?
Be shocked and amazed.
I think I might
shocked
be on
and
both.
Amazed.
Yeah, shock and awe. And awe. We're here today, Elaine, obviously, to talk about Daffodil Day, and we're all excited about that. You've had cancer in your family, haven't you? I mean,
an awful lot.
Tell me about that.
It's really weird because I was just looking at the daffodils around the place, and it's very poignant for me because daffodils always remind me of the day my dad died. He died on the 14th of March. And he had a thing called liposarcoma, which was a fatty tumour, and it didn't respond to chemo, so once he got it, he was pretty much done. Sarcomas are very, very, very the worst kind of cancer you can possibly get. So I remember the morning he died. I went down in the Bond Secures in Cork, and he was just dragging. He had a tumour that was about 3 stone. That's how big it got. It kind of crushed his insides. And I just remember, please, can someone take him? Mm. Because he was suffering. So I went down to the chapel, and there was daffodils on the altar of St. Joseph. I didn't even know St. Joseph was the saint of the dying. And I just said a little prayer, and I went back up, and within 5 minutes he was gone. So I'm looking at the yellow, and it was a happy day, and it was a terribly sad day.
How old were you?
I was 23.
Right, okay.
I was 23.
And how old was your dad? He must have been very
63.
Young.
63.
Yeah.
He was quite young, and he was probably the last of his family to get cancer, but the first to die, because my uncles died of cancer, and my aunt, all my dad's family, basically, they've been riddled with cancer, all of them, and they've, bar my auntie Maureen, and she has been diagnosed as well, but she's it's not as if you can say, it's not as serious as the boys had. But yeah, all my uncles died in their 60s. Yeah.
It's desperate, isn't it?
Yeah.
Such a curse almost, but a medical scourge on one family.
It very much is. And even in my mum's side of the family, she had a sister called Lillian, and she died when she was 4. She was born with a tumour, and she died in Crumlin's Children's Hospital, and she used to pull at her dress. Mum gets really upset still because they didn't know what was wrong with her, and she didn't like waistbands and stuff, and she was only 4. But cancer is rife in this country. It's gone through everybody and everyone's life, and it eviscerates people.
Yeah, it does.
And you can't prepare for it. You might know, I knew my dad was dying, but you can't ever prepare for the finality of when that moment goes. I was thankful it happened, but it's just so goddamn awful, and there's no way of preparing for that very second when the last breath is there, and it's utterly horrifying. Utterly horrifying.
What sort of relationship did you have with your dad?
We fight all the time.
Did you?
No, yeah, we were very alike.
Were you? Is that not always a good thing? I mean, it can be.
It is.
But it can be a fun thing.
I know, in fairness, now you've got daughters yourself, and there's a special bond between daddies and their daughters, and mammies and their sons.
It's
a completely different dynamic. But yeah, we'd fight. We're very similar. And we had a holy war all the time, but very close.
Yeah.
Very, very close. And
your
I miss
friends.
Him. Listen, I knew he was my dad. There wasn't that whole friendship thing that's going on these days. But yeah, we were very, very similar and very, very close.
You miss him in what context?
I miss the hugs.
Yeah.
It seems really, really, that's all I miss. If I could have one thing in my life, I would not want to win the EuroMillions. I wouldn't want to have diamonds and a Ferrari. I just would give everything for just one little hug, one more hug, and it would be perfect.
I don't know what to say to that, because it's so natural that you'd want that.
That's all anyone wants. I mean, you love your parents if you have a proper, and I'm lucky I have that relationship with my parents. I adore them. They annoy the bejesus out of me. Now, don't get me wrong, my mother, sometimes I want to strangle her, but she's great fun. But there's something about the hug. Even with my mother, if I have a headache, if I'm sick, she's the first person I ring, and I'm 37. I have a pain, ma'am, what'll I do? Oh yeah, you do that. And with dad, it was like, he'll mind you. And I think there's a security with your father.
Right.
If your dad's around, you know you're always going to be safe. And if he's gone, it's just your security blanket is just ripped away.
Yeah. It's funny, because sometimes you think the mammies, this is really generalising, but the mammies is the practical. There's the dinner and there's the uniform. And the dad sometimes can come in and take the easy bits. Like, come on, let's go out to the shop and get
My dad was my headmaster in school as well.
Ah, God.
There you go. So he did all the practicalities. My mother, really, she's a wonderful woman, great fun, but she's utterly useless when it comes to the practicalities. And she'll say it herself.
You were on the Late Late Show recently. We got a great response to your honesty and sense of humour as well, which was lovely. But in the green room afterwards, I met 500 of your sisters.
Oh, God.
You couldn't bring them all in. But you are a lively bunch. So where did that come from, that sense of fun and gregariousness?
I've met your brother, and how many are in your family?
I have 2 brothers and 2 sisters.
See, that's kind of quiet. It's a big family for most people, but I have 10 of them.
Yeah,
you only met 4 of the 10.
4 of the 10?
And they were the quieter ones, except for Lillian. Poor Lillian, who said she wasn't allowed to talk till 11:30. I didn't tell her not to talk. In fairness, it wasn't me. But
which one of them said, now you're not that bad. I mean, you're better looking in real life, and you're nicer. You're better.
Mona. When she tried to fix your tie.
She went to fix the tie. Come here to me, you, and whatever it was.
See, can you imagine living with that all the time? But you have to. Oh, they're really annoying. They wreck my head as only siblings can, but I adore them. Christ almighty.
Yeah, they are.
They're lively.
It's funny because Claire Byrne was on with us not so long ago, and she brought in a load of sisters, and they were great fun too. It must be something about, you know, media personality types like yourself and Claire, who have these gorgeous personalities that are, I think it comes from just trying to get a word in at the trough.
But I know Claire as well. Actually, my first day at work, I shadowed Claire in TV3, so she kind of taught me the ropes, as it were.
Yeah.
But we're the quiet people of the family, and we just run away, and we end up in media because it's just... Give me some attention, please. Anybody. And we go off and we're on television. Yeah. We're going, oh, how did that happen? Look. I'm actually quite shy. Yeah. How did it's kind of funny.
Are you shy?
I am.
Are you?
Yeah, I am.
But then how do you marry that with the being
TV
on the
thing.
Air? Yeah, being in front of a camera, that would daunt a lot of people.
You see,
too daunting.
I it was really weird actually when I was on the Late Late Show. We don't have a studio audience. We don't have real people behind the cameras. It's all remotely. So in TV3, there's one person, a floor manager, and the people I'm sitting with. So it's like you and me here, that's pretty much it.
It's like a coffee shop.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh my God, there's real people. What am I going to do?
But you responded very well to it.
But see, I knew the cameraman. Like, Garrett, your head cameraman, I was in college with. The other guy worked in TV3, so it was a little bit...
Yeah, warmer.
Warmer.
What about the 200 odd heads? And I mean odd, as in numbers, as opposed to peculiar.
Yeah, it was a bit weird. Like, real people was like, oh my God, what's going on here?
But guests often feed off that. They kind of makes them more lively or more excited.
No.
But then some might withdraw and go, Jay.
I'm telling you, if I didn't know you, I would not have gone on that show. I wouldn't randomly do that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
No way.
It's really strange. I thought you did well.
Do you not find it strange?
My life is strange.
Well, so is mine.
Yeah, but I think most people's probably are, but just a bit weird sometimes.
Yeah. Look,
but
here we are.
Here we are, in the van.
Goldfish bowls.
No, it's just story of our lives.
There's a spire. There's all the people.
Does the spire look well, actually, there, doesn't it? Like, right down the end there.
It's very phallic, isn't it? Sorry.
Depends on fire. Well, that's for another day. Yeah, thanks for bringing that up.
Lowering the tone.
Yes, indeed. So what's the plan now? You're off work today, are you?
I took it off.
All right, okay. So who presents it when you're gone?
Sybil does.
Sybil, okay.
Yeah. I was planning on going in, but you know, I'm a little bit tired. I might go back home for a snooze.
And take it easy and watch Sybil and see how she gets on today.
I never watch the show.
Ah, you do.
I swear to God, I never do. Never have, never will.
Do you watch yourself back?
Yay! I don't.
Do it. I can't bear it.
I get mortified.
So do I. I don't want to see all those flaws.
I did it once because I produce it as well. And I was like, I am so annoying.
Yeah.
I should sack me because I'm that annoying. So then I stopped.
Yeah, you don't want to be sacking yourself.
No.
Elaine Crowley. Do you flinch when they say Crowley?
Most people say Crowley.
I know, that's the thing.
I know.
Okay.
But you know, you did make the effort for it, too.
Brian Tupperty. That's like Brian Tupperty. Agreed. Brian Tupperty. I watch you every Saturday. No, you don't. Okay, Elaine Crowley, presenter of Midday on TV3 and much more besides. Thanks for coming in to see us today.
It's been a pleasure.
A delight. We'll have to do a photograph for our Facebook page. Are you allowed to do that contractually?
I'm the boss of myself. I can do what I want.
We'll be back after this. Thank you, Elaine.